I'm super happy. I make it a point to only do things and accept jobs that I can be happy with. And because of that, I can perform at my highest level.
Hello and welcome to my dear listeners of Partners in Time. Today I'm talking to Mark Ong, aka Mr. Sabotage. He's a sneaker customizer and a designer from Singapore. What started in his childhood with repairing his skating shoes as well as pimping his sneakers to have unique ones became a successful business. This year, IWC teamed up with him to create something super special, very limited and very, very nice that you don't wear on your feet, but maybe on your wrist. Stay tuned and listen to this episode to find out what I'm teasing here. It's super inspiring to listen to Mr. Sabotage, aka Mark. Have fun with today's episode of Partners in Time. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Hi. This is Mark from Singapore. I'm feeling good. It's 9:30 a.m. right here.
So you're in the middle.
I'm in the office.
In the middle of Singapore. That's nice. You're checking in. That's a very official the way you say hello. It's very good.
Really?
Yeah. You're saying, hey, this is Mark calling from Singapore. That's I love this. That's very good.
I never done a podcast before, but I listened to some. So maybe that's where it's from.
I'm gonna walk you through this. So you're a podcast virgin over here. Where you are in downtown Singapore right now. So you do live in Singapore.
Yes, I live in Singapore downtown. What exactly downtown? I think it's in the center of, more or less, the center of Singapore.
Well, if I think of Singapore, I think of that one like building with the three arches and the pool on top. And I've been there several times because F1 always stopped in Singapore. I worked in F1, and it's always been like I just have dizzy memories. Because Formula One always lives in European time when they go to Singapore. So, and I flew in from LA. So my brain and body got very much mixed up when I was in Singapore. So we had breakfast at 2 p.m. We had dinner at 3 a.m. And it was weird times. But it's also a very, very nice place to live because it's super international, right? And it has grown the last. Did you grow up in Singapore?
Yes, I was born and raised in Singapore and very, very happy to be here. Very proud to be Singaporean and
It's good. And you're going to stay there. So there's no need to move to LA or to New York or to London or wherever designers go to, because you're staying in Singapore.
I'm staying in Singapore, but I travel a lot because of my job. So I've been around the world, and I have friends all over the world where I can just call up whenever I visit, and we'll have a good time.
That's super nice. Just to be clear, so Mark Ong is your real name, but Mr. Sabotage is how people recognize you, because that's as well as your Insta handle, that's your artist name, I would say. Can you tell me what you do?
Okay, so right from the start, I was born and raised in Singapore.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with skateboarding when I was 8 to 9 years old. Great. And fast forward all that, I became a sneaker designer / customizer. It was just, my passion, and it became my livelihood as an artist.
How big is the skateboarding scene in Singapore? Is it legit existing?
It is. It has been pretty active. I mean, we are a small city. We have about 6 million people, but I don't know how many skaters are there. But now at the skate park, you would see generations of dads who are skateboarders grow up bringing their kids to skate and all that. So it's been around for more than 30 years.
And how old are you, if I may ask?
I am 43 this year, and I've been skateboarding for more than 30 years.
And you still do skateboard? So how's your kick flip? How's your heel flip?
I still skate every single week.
Oh, okay.
For the past, I would say, 10 years. And before that, on and off. My kickflip is good. Not my best, but my favorite trick is to do is the tray flip.
Oh, okay. That's legit. Yeah. So you know how to skate. So who's been your idol, course. Like growing up? Who was the one skater you always looked up to?
Oh, there are so many. I remember the first video that I watched, it was by Powell Peralta. And the name of the video is called Bandis. The first skater that came out of the video was Frankie Hill. And he created a very deep impression. Another skater I liked was Ray Barbie. I sort of emulate his style of skating, like how smooth he goes. The focus is not so much on the tricks, but like the poetry in motion. So, yeah.
It's very interesting because I'm born 81. You're probably born 79 then, right?
Yes, so that's correct.
I was not cool enough for skateboarding. I went with inline skating. So
I see.
I think now we're 40 plus, so we can agree that it's kind of close, but it's not. Back in the days, skateboarders were hating on me, and I do understand why, but still skateboarding heavily influenced me. Like I was a super fan of Ryan Sheckler, for example. Life of Ryan was such a sick show, and that's why I live where I live was because of Life of Ryan. I watched that, and I moved to Newport Beach, which is close to San Clemente, where he's from and where he stayed, but that heavily influenced me. And now I think that all the Nijas and stuff, like it's the coolest I've ever seen it. And I'm heavily, heavily impressed by the LA skateboarding scene and Bobby Hundreds and stuff like that. It's so sick what they do for the culture, for clothing, for everything, for designing, for like, it's insane how important skateboarding is here in LA. So I'm kind of, I think in the same boat as you were and still are, because as a German, I was craving for those videos. I was craving for when I was 12, I went to Central Park, New York and went to the places where the skateboarding films took place. And that was my Mecca. And you used that word straight away.
Yeah.
It was my passion. And I think a lot of people are struggling to find a passion right now. Because everything is available and it's a lot of, you know, information is there. But and now we're talking about like old people. But back in then, it was hard to get hands on those films, especially in Singapore, probably, right? It was not around the corner. It was not the internet. You can just click on and you saw the next trick and somebody explaining it. It was an underground scene, right?
Yeah. Like you said, there was no internet. And we would, for videos to get passed around from our friends, or we would just gather at a friend's place to watch the videos, and we would like memorize the scene and talk about the scene, and you know, even like skate magazines, and we would like go through pages like in detail and like look at the pages for like 10 minutes and you know,
analyze,
like, look at
it.
Every single detail.
Totally. And then one of the things that's super heavy on skateboarding is shoes, and that's where you started, right? So was it a reacting to shoes being broken? Because a lot of shoes are heavily used while skating and they rip off and parts of it. So
yeah.
Was that how you started customizing, repairing maybe a little bit, and then you realized I can make this a little bigger? Or was it a look from the beginning? Did you want it to be different? How did that start?
Growing up as a skater, and when you start to learn your ollies and stuff, you kind of like beat your shoes up a little bit more very much, right? And there will be holes and stuff. And I learned this from like the kids around my neighborhood, and they would cut up like bicycle tires, like the rubber parts, and they just glue and patch up the holes. I took it a step further. My dad is an artist, so I've always been subconsciously drawn to making things like aesthetically pleasing. So I didn't use the bicycle tires. I cut up a piece of suede and I would color match it. I would, you know, make it nice. Like I made it my mission to make it nice. And the kids around the neighborhood say, "Hey, how do you do it so well?" And I guess that's where I discovered what I was meant to do.
That you had a talent in it. Because if people like it, there must be something in it, right?
I mean, that was the point where I discovered that I had a talent for this.
Because in early 2000s, there, that's when, before I think sneakers were more of a sporty item, right? Would you agree on that?
Yeah, they were just designed for sports.
And that changed, right?
That changed over the years. I mean, shoes that you bought in the 90s and early 2000s kind of like almost happened to be nice for like urban streetwear, but it wasn't so specific. It wasn't so engineered for like streetwear, but it just happened to be nice. It's like an outfit you put together like from like different parts and combine it and make like your own outfit painting, if you will. You know what I mean?
Totally. And it's super nice to listen to you doing that, because that's the definition of creating, you know, like it is how surroundings are impacting it a little bit. And probably, I mean, how did you get your inspiration? Your father was an artist. What kind of art did he do?
My father was my parents were nurses by profession.
Okay.
But my dad would paint murals in the house that I grew up in. And every wall was painted. So,
nice.
Yeah. And it was like scenery of like places that he visit, or he would refer to a postcard and paint a mural, like a beautiful scene. And he wanted like a wall that is made out of bricks, like a brick wall, but we didn't have a brick wall. So he painted bricks on the wall.
That's nice.
So that sheer, I mean, drive to create what he wanted to see inspired me to kind of like do the same approach with sneakers.
It's perfect. It's a great story. It's exactly what it should. And does Singapore inspire you as well? Like the place of Singapore, the culture and the background? Because it's a special story of Asia, right? Like it's a special place,
yeah.
At least what I got to know. It's very special people, very fashionable people too. Like very
really?
Streets. I would say, yeah.
Okay,
I do believe it's, or out of my perspective, compared to some parts of Asia, you're on mm-hmm. the top of the time. And it feels very interested in Western culture as well, out of my perspective.
Yeah.
I don't know, you're a Singaporean, so walk me through it. How important was the place of Singapore for your inspiration?
When I started my career as a sneaker artist, designer, it was the year 2003, and there weren't many people doing what I did, and wanting to start like my job as a sneaker artist was kind of absurd. It was kind of crazy.
There must be people around you say like, what do you want to do? Like in the beginning, right?
I know.
What did your parents say? Did they understand?
They always wanted me to be a doctor or lawyer growing up, but I became a rebel. Because of skateboarding, I think the spirit of skateboarding and punk rock like influenced me to approach life in a very independent sense.
Uh-huh.
And I just rebelled against what my parents want. But at the same time, I my dad was artistic as well. So I said, hey, you know, this came from somewhere, right? So you wanted me to be a doctor or lawyer, but you know, you influenced me to be an artist.
Yeah.
And this is what I was put in this earth to do. And I sort of followed that calling and started my career as an artist. And I didn't really struggle that much in the start, because the first shoe I painted, I sold it immediately and I made a profit. And I told them, like, yo, look at this, man. I'm making money. And since then, I never had a job. I never went out to look for a job before.
It's really nice. But it's also because you're insanely talented in what you do. I have to admit that. I kind of tried to read a little bit into it. You were the first one to get an official production collab with Nike in that point, right?
I think I was the first Southeast Asian to have a Nike collab, and probably the first handful of sneaker customizers do. I think I was the first sneaker customizer to get a collab with any sneaker brand, but I got Nike. So,
well, what's after
amazing.
That? I mean, that's the best.
After that, I did like a lot of other brands, and it's fun. I do a sneaker every year.
Okay.
And yeah, I never had to sort of pitch for a job. Everything sort of like gravitated towards my passion.
It's very congratulations to that, because that's
a
big, big quality in life. I have to. I want to talk about the name, Mr. Sabotage. Where, why, where did that come from? Explain it to me.
Funny story. I was in design school in Singapore, and I wanted to. I just learned how to use like Photoshop and create graphics and all that stuff. And the first thing I wanted to do was to create my own brand. And believe it or not, the name Sabotage just came up randomly, because that was what I was thinking during that time. I don't even know why. And after someone hired me to order like a bunch of sneakers, I used that name without having a chance to change it or to consider like to rebrand myself. So so yeah, fast forward all that, it's been 20 years. It's still there, yeah. It's still there.
Yeah, that's good. And it's bigger than ever as we talk, right?
No, I want to back up a little bit. So I joined a custom sneaker competition online, and I used the name Sabotage.
When was this?
To brand. This was in 2002.
Okay, so very beginning.
Yeah, the very beginning. 2002, 2003, I entered a competition online. I submitted my design and I branded my design under the name Sabotage. And there was a, right after that, I won first prize. And right after that, like the next week, a retailer from Tokyo contacted me and ordered like a bunch of shoes, like 72 pairs from me. And they said, "We want Sabotage." I'm like, okay, so that means I don't have a chance to change the name.
No, absolutely not.
It's funny, right?
Yeah, totally. But I mean,
yeah,
it works. I like it. And the whole, I mean, there's a repetitive pattern that stands out, right, with the camouflage stuff and everything. I think it fits super well, like out of my perspective. But that's maybe... I'm following you for quite some time, so I know all the stuff you do. So,
thank you.
It is it's really, really good, and I think it's a perfect match, the name to what you do. So it does fit. So, however, we are talking about, like, this is still an IWC podcast. So two things I want to know: are you wearing an IWC right now? What's on your wrist?
I am wearing a Big Pilot, 43 millimeters.
Which color?
And black.
Okay, nice. Yeah, I really like
yes.
that. But what's happening with IWC? What are you doing? Because there is something I know. I've seen a little bit even, because I'm sometimes I'm in Schaffhausen, and there's stuff on the walls in the secret. I'm not allowed to talk about it, but maybe I've seen some stuff. But can you walk me through that? How do you, like, there's something coming up. How did that happen? What happened? Like, why is there an IWC meeting Mr. Sabotage, or Mr. Sabotage meeting IWC, and what is it going to be? Talk me through it.
Okay, so I think it was about a little over a year ago, I got contacted by IWC, and they approached me to see if I was interested to be a friend of the brand and have conversations about potentially working on a design with IWC. And I went for the meeting, and I spoke to Cindy, and it was really, really good vibes. And I didn't have like a watch contract with any other brand at the moment. And IWC is huge. And it was such an honor. And I looked through Pilot watches and, you know, how they are, see whether I synergize with their aesthetics and stuff. And everything sort of resonates. And like soon after, I was making shoes for Chris Granger. We chatted on Instagram and all. I say, wow, this is great. Like this company is really like friendly, and I only got like good vibes.
Did you meet Christian Knob?
Of course.
Yeah, because he's super nice too, right? I really like him a lot.
I made shoes for him. He has a size 16.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like that's
shoes.
The biggest. That's probably the biggest design you ever made.
Yeah. So I made shoes for Kobe Bryant. He's a size 14. And
but Christian Knob is bigger than that. Right?
Christian Knob is a size 16. He's tall.
He's super tall. He's insanely tall.
He's super nice guy. We had lunch in Schaffhausen, and I enjoyed my time. He introduced me to his team. I went to the headquarters and stuff. We had a good time. So me and Christian, we were working on a strap together, and we are going to present it sometime this month in Singapore and online. So it's going to be a global launch. I'm super excited about this.
Me too. I'm because the problem is it's very hard to get. Is it limited or is it?
I think it's very limited. Yeah. It's going to be launched online. So first come, first serve.
Oh, no. Can you reserve me one? Just think. And what color, like, because I really like their color scheme and everything with the Pantone colors and everything. Is it following one color? Because I have the Mojave, so I'm now hoping that it has something to do with Mojave, or is it a different color? What kind of color is it?
I think we explored different colors and we kind of arrived at it matching the woodland.
Oh, the green, the dark green. Super nice.
I think the tones would match a Mojave as well. I haven't tried it, but I'm pretty curious.
It's kind of a mix and match. It's probably,
yeah,
it's gonna be, because is there some camouflage in it?
It is camouflaged.
Okay.
Yeah, it is my signature X-ray Tiger camouflage that I have been painting on my sneakers for the last 20 years. And right now it's such a celebration to be able to apply that pattern onto a IWC strapped.
How weird is it going to be that it's not on shoes, but on wrists? Like it's similar, but it's same, but different, right? So that's going to be interesting to see that, right?
I think so. But when we design, the way I approach sneaker design is I don't want a graphic to be too interfering or like jarring on any of the products that I design, and same approach for the watch strap. So it's quite organic, I would say. So my approach is sort of like skinning the panels on the sneaker, and
okay,
I use
that. What kind of material is it?
It's leather.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like really, really, really premium leather. The finishing is so beautiful.
Are you wearing it now? Did you put it on your?
I'm not wearing it right now. I'm still waiting for my official strap to arrive.
Okay.
I think it should come this week. But I do have the sample. I do have the sample. I've been wearing it secretly for a few months without being photographed in it because we can't tell anybody before it releases, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
But congrats to that. That's gonna be a nice.
Thank
it's
you
a
so
little
much.
Birthday,
I feel so blessed.
Like a little present that's coming around when the final.
Yeah.
That must be so cool that this yeah. will arrive. That's going to be nice.
Super excited.
I could talk for hours, but we got to wrap it up at one point. I have a couple
sure.
of questions that are I'm asking every person I'm meeting here, and it's very interesting. Once again, like I feel your passion. Like when you talk about what you do, it's super inspiring, and it's kind of a thing that I'm learning about a lot of people that I talk to, a lot of people of the IWC family and the people they kind of contact to do collabs and the people they work with. And it is Christian, both Christians Knob and Chris Granger. Like it is impressive how they changed IWC in the last 5, 6, 7 years out of my perspective, and how cool it is today. It's for me, it's super impressive.
Yeah.
But enough of the compliments. I want to know, like, because one of the things that we all struggle is time at the end. Like everybody needs more time, you know? So if I would give you an extra hour of time, and I have a guess, but I'm not going to say it out loud. But if you have an extra hour every day, what would you use it for? Just
wow.
given as a present, and you can do whatever you want with it.
That's so interesting. An extra hour as a present. Wow.
Is it a present? That's the first question. Do you want an extra hour?
Do I want? I'll take it. You know, there's a saying that no amount of money has ever bought a second of time.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, so that would be the most valuable thing to ever give to anybody. I would use it to work out.
Skateboard?
I don't know, like maybe skate, maybe I'll spend that extra hour doing whatever that I love to do. Anything besides scrolling on Instagram, I guess. Something valuable. Spend time with my cat together with my wife and just wind down and like decompress and debrief, talk about the day, talk about what we want to achieve the next day, that sort of thing.
But it is kind of like, honestly, congratulations that you're living a life that you don't have to chase jobs and you can follow your passion. You can create and still you're excited about projects that you create. It feels like it, at least. You're at a good place. You're happy, right?
Oh, I'm super happy. Yeah. I make it a point to do things, only do things and accept jobs that I can be happy with. And because of that, I can perform at my highest level.
It's very, very good. That's your key to success. I'm always, my name is Ripke in German, but in the US, people say Ripke. And I always,
Ripke.
And I think one day I want to write a book, My Ripkeys to Success. 99 things I learned from people. You know, Ripkeys. Ripke to Success.
Ripke.
14. I worked 5 years in F1. And after I stopped with Mercedes, and I asked Toto Wolff, a very close friend of IWC as well, what's been the best thing about me working with him and everything, and with Bradley Lord, and like it's been the comms team of the Formula One team. So, and I expected, because we did a couple of very pioneer new things. We created new stories in a way that haven't been done before. We portrayed different angles, the media we created. I took videos and photos and stuff. But he answered that you were on time every single day. I was disappointed, but then I kind of felt like, okay, it's kind of a compliment too, because like a Ripke to Success number 7 is be on time. Just be on time. Yeah. It's very, very important.
That's amazing that you're on time. I would like to meet you because I value that punctuality so much.
Come around. Whenever you are in LA, we can hang and I show you my neighborhood. Or when maybe you show me your most favorite restaurant in Singapore, because I really like to eat. I'm a big eating guy.
What's your favorite dish in Singapore?
We went to like a street market and it was Indian food. That was the best I've had worldwide in Singapore. Has to do also with because the F1 team was British, or still is British, and all the engineers, they're kind of nerdy. So like they are really clever, but very nerdy people. And they all love curry. And they had such good restaurants, like street market style. That was one thing.
Yes.
And then the second thing, is it a Nobu or a Zuma in the, like close to the racetrack, where there was like a very, very good restaurant, like Japanese, higher end Japanese.
I see.
I like that a lot, to be honest. But once again, like traveling with F1, you're not really getting to know local people. So I'm ready to come back. And I want you to show me one place at least, because I'm sure that will be better than the British people telling me what to see in Singapore.
I'll take you around. You can be on your rollerblades and I'll be skating and we'll do like a street tour and, you know, we do an episode, a Ripke's visit, culinary visit for street food in Singapore on wheels.
Yeah, on wheels. Street food on wheels.
On wheels. Street food on wheels. Ripke's, Sabotage, street food on wheels.
Yeah, that's really, like we can make that. I want to make that. That's exactly what I want to make.
That will be our collaboration.
Here we are. Perfect. Thank you so much. Yeah. I could talk for hours. It was super inspiring. Like, it's really inspiring the way you talk, and it's super inspiring to see that this path worked. And honestly, also thanks to your dad to paint those walls, because
I know,
I do believe that that opened up your mind to what's possible. You know, like it's very impressive. Super nice.
Thank you.
I could talk for hours, but we got to wrap it up over here. Thanks for taking the time. And I'm going to book my flights now. I'm on my way to Wheels in Singapore. Ripkey Sabotage.
All right.
Perfect. Thank you very much for talking to me.
Thanks, Paul. It's been a real pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.